Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
Poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're traveling over thousands of miles of air, land and sea. It's time for the gathering of poets from around the world. Welcome home. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the first edition of July 2017. It is 7/7/17.
Yes.
I'm here in the studio. My name is Michael Amadei. I'm here with my compatriot here, my co-host, JT. How are you, my friend?
I am doing much better now than I was earlier today, but
yeah. Oh well, yeah, you had little issues that came across today, right? Little car issues and things.
Of all things, yeah.
Well, those happen. Those can put a damper in things, as they say.
That they can.
So it's been a pretty crazy week. I think for the world in general, and just kind of, you know, we've each had our things, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody listening has. So it's great that we're able to come together and kind of share and connect with one another as we do. We have some great callers. If the past is anything of an indication, we will have some great callers tonight. And we have, if this is your first time, you've come to the right place. If you're returning, you've come to the right place, and we're really happy to have you, every single one of you. This episode's kind of cool also because it's seeing this the first of the month.
Yep.
Three things happen.
Three.
Besides the poetry.
Yeah.
One, we start giving the three clues for our July 2017 World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month.
Yeah.
Two, we announce our poetic form of the month.
That's right.
And number three, because this is the first Friday, we're going to finish the show up with an After Dark segment, which is so sexy, as they say.
And it'll be...
It's a separate piece. So we'll finish the show proper.
Yep.
And then you'll hear bumper music, and that's your cue if you're with family or you have people listening that you don't want to have hear, you know, you don't want to hear kind of the more risque Blue Note stuff. Then, you know, that's your cue, and we'll let you know. And then if you want to stick around, it'll be very, very obvious that we're there. All right, so let's just get into the rules really quickly.
Okay.
And actually, JT,
yeah?
I think I mentioned this to you. I have a rewritten version of the rules, just kind of said in another way.
Okay.
And the person who wrote this is no less than one of our listeners. I'm going to read it and see if you can guess who wrote it.
Okay.
And you at home listening, see if you can guess as well. Here we go. Though many naysayers say we've no hope, the beautifully odd ones argue differently. Join us for an easygoing evening of music, festivity, and good old-fashioned lemonade fun. Bring your verses and love to World Poetry Open Mic, but be mindful of your words and P's and Q's. Though we may enjoy a big old plate of biscuits and gravy, we are all sensitive to obscenity, especially when the innocent may be listening, including many of our finest returned poets. So basically what he's saying there, and that's the end of the written piece.
Good.
Basically what he's saying there is, you know, we don't do profanity. We don't do hate speech.
Yep.
Right? Anything else you want to bring that's part of the art, let's do it. We try to skew PG-13 yep. for the families that and the children who listen, so it's safe for them. You can let go during After Dark should you want to.
That's right.
With the exception of hate speech. Yes. We still won't do that. We're just not going to give that and put that on the air.
That's right.
Who do you think wrote that? You don't have to answer, but
I got a couple in mind.
You got a couple in mind? Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder who I'm going to look in the...
In the chat room?
Yeah, in the chat room, see what's going on. Anyway, let's do this. Let's get ready to head into our first segment. We're going to take five unique callers. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Your Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do the first five.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
It's pretty amazing how Christine was able to do such a good impersonation of me at the exact same time I was doing an impersonation of her.
That was really good. I do have to admit, that was a really good...
There's occasionally... It's my theory that all good singers are good impersonators. And I think every single time I've tried... I mean, this is very serious... Every single time I've tried to prove that wrong, it's come up the other way. Every good singer I know is great at doing impersonations.
I guess that makes sense.
It's the shaping of the, you know, it's just a thing. It's a mimicry thing, I think. At any rate, we're back. We've got five great poets lined up. First thing I'm going to do, though, is read a submission.
Awesome.
And now it's someone who I know is in the chat room, who did call in, isn't in the segment, but it's a short one. We're going to go through it, okay?
Okay.
This one is from Felipe. I'm just going to leave it at that. People know who he is. This is called Postcard from an Outdoor Coliseum. Dark today, just before Sunday, with patchwork senses patched proper, before the long, drowsy, goldenrod autumn softly drifts adrift in benevolent slumber. Am certain there's a core belonging among their valiant seeds blossomed. Unexpectedly roses dropped off among the Romans whose sweat still sweetens these moonlit shores. And that is Postcards from an Outdoor Coliseum by Felipe. Philip, that was great. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
And look forward to, as always, look forward to your work later in the show. Let's go straight away to Michigan. The guy who always, he has it down as an art form, man. He knows
must.
How to do it.
He does.
Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Dennis, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. It's Friday night, isn't it?
It is. That's right. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. We are so happy to have you.
I'm right. That is right. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And what a wonderful night it is.
You know, it is a wonderful night. It's a little hot here. How about where you are?
It's been kind of warm, but it's cooled off a little bit with a little bit of rain just recently.
Oh, that sounds nice. Yeah.
But it's very good. It's very good.
Yeah. Well, good. We're hoping to get some rain here ourselves.
It's been a wonderful week of celebration. The United States celebrating its birthday.
Yeah.
And all the fireworks and all the activities that been going on. And I'd just like to continue in that vein just a little bit longer.
All right.
So I'd like to share a poem with you this evening. The title is A Mother to be Honored. And it goes like this. A mother nurtures and protects. She sustains and nourishes. She teaches right and wrong and instills principles and values. She teaches integrity and tolerance, and she provides her brood freedom to make their own wise choices. That's what mothers do. This country is my mother. She has nurtured and protected me. She sustains and meets my physical and intellectual needs. She has given me a framework of what is acceptable and what is not. She has taught me justice tempered with mercy. And though all her children are not the same, she has taught me respect and tolerance. The freedoms she bestows are blood bought, and they are to be honored and cherished. Though she is not perfect, she never claims to be. She continues self-improving daily. May I always respect my mother, my country, and seek her greater good and the well-being. Long live America. End of poem.
Very, very enjoyable. And I think you made some great points there. And I absolutely second that. Long live America. And we're not perfect. We don't pretend to be. But we all have a responsibility to help try to move things in the right way.
Yes, we do. And we are blessed so many wonderful ways here. And we need to understand what a blessing it is and respect that and cherish it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Completely agreed.
Well, thank you. I know there's some great poets right behind me. And I know Barbara is going to do a fantastic job tonight. She always does.
I'm glad to see her
slip in at number two.
I know. It's awesome. I think we've got some great people lined up here. And we can't think of anyone better to lead it off, Dennis. So thank you so much for doing it, as always. And we hope we can move to the return engagement quickly enough so you can be involved.
Well, we'll see about that. And I'm going to step aside for right now. I'm going to say God bless.
All right. God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan. He's been calling from Michigan every Friday for a long time now. Do you know what we have coming up here, JT? One, two, three, four, five. Is it 5 months? Is it 5 months? Something like that.
Four or five months. Almost 5 months. Yeah.
We got our 5-year anniversary coming up.
That's great.
Isn't that nuts? 5 years.
That's great.
I know. We're gonna have to throw a party.
We are.
You know, and it's not gonna be the normal party we throw on the show when something exciting happens. In fact, JT, do you have your party hats here? We can. We could actually do it. Okay, so this is the kind of party we normally do. Ready? Roll it! Yeah! Yeah, we're not going to do a party like that. We're actually going to do a real, honest-to-goodness, yes, a chipmunk party, which basically involves us getting a bunch of feral chipmunks, putting them all in a room, locking the door, and then we come in here wearing nothing but loincloths and headdresses and try to perform a dance to, you know, keep the next 5 years going. So that's kind of the that's how we started the show, and that's how we're going to kick it.
That's right. That's how we're going to keep
you
going.
Know, it's a wonder that KZKO thought we were weird. I don't know why that was. I think to this day we're the only ones who ever claimed cannibalism on that radio.
Yeah, and it was so quick too.
It was so. I don't even know if they noticed.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they noticed. See, that's the thing. If you can just slip the cannibal references in there. It's like you're speaking code. All right. Speaking of speaking code, let's go. Actually, I don't even know where that comes from.
I don't know where that's going.
Let's go to Connecticut. Well, you know, someone spoke code in Connecticut once.
Oh, I'm sure.
Might not have been Barbara, though. Let's go to Barbara. Barbara, how are you?
Hello?
Hello.
I'm good. It was an exhausting week, I just can tell you, because we went to the fireworks and
you didn't try to catch them all again, did you?
After we went to see the Macy's fireworks and Let's just say we prepared, but we were not prepared. So
that leaves a lot open to interpretation, Barbara.
It was a wild time. I'll talk about it later. Meanwhile,
okay.
I guess you want us to read first and then talk.
Yeah,
right?
Let's do. Let's read and then we'll talk after.
Yeah. Okay. So this is from The Garden of Poetry and Prose. It's back in Anthology 2, Week 5. So I don't think anyone remembers it, but I didn't write anything new yet. So this is. Reverie of a Broken Life, and it's based on a quote from Anais Nin. Life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. Reverie of a Broken Life. When you were a baby, your world was the surrounding couple of feet where you lay, or the soft space of your mother's or father's arms. In this small area, you felt safe and gained the courage to take that first step when your tiny legs were strong enough to hold you. As gradually your circle increased, so did your confidence. And as it grew, so did the area where you were able to go and feel strong and powerful, moving you forward to try more and more until you had reached your goal. But then, as suddenly as your world expanded, it began to shrink as you were bombarded with burdens weighing you down, planting their cement feet on your back and forcing you to stop and take more and more steps back. The small bubble of confidence left inside of you keeps shrinking, and you spend most of your days in the same small space of your baby days. Only a few feet is your world. Each day you tell yourself you will venture outside, but that bubble never expands. Visions whirl around you, reminiscences of halcyon days when life was warmer and cozier and being alone meant a treat rather than a sorrow, when you relished exploring the world and didn't want to hide inside to escape the dark greens of existence. You dream of the colorful days, when you strode proudly, master of your world, when you were encased in a confidence bubble as you ventured forth into the open air. End poem.
I really enjoyed that one, Barbara. Great job.
Thank you. I think I read this one once before, but anyway.
I think so. It sounds familiar, but, you know, we hear so much here, you know, it's kind of hard sometimes to keep it all straight.
Well, now about the fireworks.
Okay, tell me about the fire. So I said something about straight, and you started laughing and said the fireworks. So I'm expecting an extravaganza with all kinds of sparklers and stuff.
Oh, it was. The actual fireworks are awesome. But we got into the city at around 3. Met my brother, had barbecue. Then we walked from 25th Street and 2nd Avenue to 23rd Street and 1st Avenue. And that wasn't too bad. That isn't a bad walk. But then we had to stand for unbelievable amount of time. I didn't even count the hours. It was like maybe 2 hours standing in the sun in the middle of 23rd Street. They actually opened up the street. They put gates on the side where the sidewalk was, and they let people who were going to the ferries or to this water club go on one side. And on the other side, they left it for people who weren't going to the fireworks. So the people who were going to the fireworks, we were left to stand like cattle in the sun with very little. They wouldn't let you have chairs. They wouldn't let you have coolers. So you basically could only have a bottle of water, and that was it. And so finally they opened the gates, and there were like hundreds of police all around. And then they opened the gates, and they let us through to walk from 23rd Street to 14th Street, which wasn't too bad either. Except everybody was going really fast. And then we walked onto the on-ramp or the off-ramp, I couldn't decide which it was, of the West Side Highway. No, East Side Highway, sorry, FDR Drive. And we got up there, and they stopped us there. And then we walked onto the highway, and we stood. And there were maybe 5 or 6 rows of people. It wasn't too bad. We stood there for like 3 hours more in the sun. and it was kind of crazy because there was nothing to do but look on your phone, and there wasn't much internet, so it was hard. So all we could do is look at the scenery, which was beautiful. But, you know, there's only so much scenery you can take. And then finally, after about another hour, the police came and said more people were coming, that everybody who was sitting on a blanket or whatever had to get up. And some people were actually sitting on the cement. I didn't. I leaned against the fence, and hence that photo of that strange person who was pretending to be, I guess, a wizard or whatever. But anyway, so we waited and waited and waited, and finally it started to really, we were in the front, so it was starting to get really, like, packed up in the back. And so we were, like, in the 3rd or 4th row, and the people back behind us, we didn't even look to see, but it was getting very crunchy there. Finally, it started, the way they started is they have the fireboats come, and they spray all this colored water along the river. And then there were 5 barges. One of them was right in front of us with Macy's name on it. And we could see the fireworks from there. And when it started, it was so spectacular. It was almost worth, you know, the fact that you could barely
feel your feet.
Was it
worth the wait?
Well, that's what I'm saying that it probably was. But I would never do it again. Because my daughter got heat stroke, and then she got sick. And then the other thing was that there were so many people going out and back and then standing for that long. And you know I had my knee done, so this was like above and beyond the call of my life. And we walked and we walked and we got to 20th Street. And 20th Street is one of those long streets that they have the projects on it, so there's no actual street that goes in between. So it's one of the longest blocks in the city. But we found a place to sit and rest and eat and get refreshed because we had to go 5 more blocks to 25th Street to our car. And I have to say that when I got in the car, I was so happy to sit again and not have to do anything. And then the following day, my legs wouldn't work, really. They just wouldn't work. And then I had to wind up going upstairs. But anyway, it took like 3 days to recover from it, really.
Well, I'm glad that you're recovering. That's a good thing.
Yeah, no, I'm actually recovered. I can walk, but still, I would say to anybody who decides to go to the fireworks in New York, and we actually met a woman and her son who were there, who came from California just to see the fireworks.
Oh, cool. Some people are committed to things that blow up.
Yeah. The fireworks themselves were awesome. You have to understand, when you see regular fireworks, you don't see them that close up, usually. I mean, you don't even see where they're coming from. But just seeing where they're coming from.
Are you being all New York's better than everywhere else about fireworks right now, Barbara?
Well, Macy's. There were 5 barges, and each one had their own fireworks display.
Yeah.
And it was coordinated.
Well, if it's coordinated. Kind of awesome. No, I'm sure it was awesome. I think we just got some pride here going on in Colorado. I think we kind of throw down a little bit.
I have to say, I've been pretty close to fireworks. I mean, less than a baseball diamond away.
I hijacked the fireworks. I was really close to them.
Nice. Took the whole trailer and just drove down the street.
I didn't do that. Hey, Barbara, you know, we've been going like another like 8 minutes, almost 9 minutes over the poem.
But I didn't want everyone to hear about that experience. Well, absolutely. Because if you go, that's what you're going to have to do.
All right. Noted. Wrote it down. Wow. All right. Although for a different, okay. Barbara, thank you so much. We'll talk to you during the return engagement. Okay.
All right. Okay, bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. By the way, did you know that when you go to the running of the bulls in Pamplona, Spain,
yes,
you generally do not stand around that long. You stand around for a little while.
And then you're running for your life.
And then you're running for your life because there's a bull running after you.
I got it. We strap fireworks to the backs of bulls and coordinate their launches.
You know the idea? That's a good idea. You know the other idea I had right now?
Sorry, yeah.
So we have an incense burner in here?
Yeah.
You know what we could do to really make this festive in here?
Yeah.
Instead of incense? Sparklers.
Sparklers. Totally.
Yep. It won't smell very good, but it'll be fantastic.
Potential fire.
Yeah, but when did that ever stop us?
Good point.
Everything here is so hot. Okay, let's go to the UK and to Titus. Titus, are you there?
Good morning, Christine. Good morning, JT. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Yeah, really good. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Finally, last time I phoned, I had this trapped nerve in my arm and my shoulder, but it seems all fixed now, so
I'm
very
good
about that. it's nice to get on. Oh, how are you?
Oh, yeah, we're all doing great. We're happy to hear that you're feeling better, too, and that's a big thing.
I've got to go again today, but I didn't want to let him down, so I thought, well, let's just go with it and get it over and done with.
I appreciate it.
I got this poem that is called A Gaze Given Seen. This is a dedication to Philip Matthew Roberts. It's a dedication in the sense that, like that many of the others, which are either spiritual or have this space odyssey feel, they go into a book called Poet's Whisper. And I've put Philip down as Antares, which is one of the stars in Scorpius, and one of the, well, it's the brightest one. So that's him. And the one word which maybe people don't know is the lodestar. And I'm just looking this up again because I want to get it right, is that the lodestar is either archaic, a star that leads or guides, especially North Star, one, or like Philip, one that serves as an inspiration, model or guide. So this one is for Philip, and it's called A Gaze Given Seen from Poet's Whisper. Philanthropist, your love for humanity has given us this gifted man of means. In terms of wealth, I can vouch vanity. Lodestar has the gaze given of scenes littered from afar with words of velocity. If you were expanse, my man, this how far? Perhaps you'll aid me in my own paucity. Midpoint, we'd agree to meet up somewhere. Antares has reached true epic proportion. The culmination of gatherings by Brumaire. Translated, it means like Mars, he's shone. Hedonists are we, to elaborate the phrase edgeless displays. We are to approach one. We are such alike, it bilaterally conveys rhetoric. The art of discourse to conform morphisms, words that are merely abstract. Becoming clear that we are to brainstorm enigmatic theories. The welcome artifact rarefies definition. More subtly refined tantamount are we to include our work sublimely, illustrating the stars combined. And that's it.
That's very, very nice. And, you know, I have to throw this out, Titus. Hearing you read is always such a treat also. It's always appreciated.
Well, that poem is telling Philip that although we are very much different in our styles, that we are very much alike. So I think in space that's very true sometimes, you know, it's or spiritually even, people that follow faith. We have this is it or is it not kind of thing. But we'd like to believe that, you know, what isn't is, so to speak. I know it sounds a bit contradiction, but I think it's very comforting to think that although we are very much alike, we are very much the same, all of us, and we are all friends at the All Poetry and this show, so I'm very happy with that.
Yeah. Wonderful. And we're so happy to have you here as well, and we see you as such an integral part of that family.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Okay, the pleasure is always. Thank you. And I hope you continue to feel better, Titus.
Yes, thank you very much. Bye.
Goodbye. And that was Titus calling from the UK. Man, it's just lining down. The first three have been really, really solid. I think Jim can hold up to it. I'm pretty sure he can. I've seen him do it before. Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania. Jim, good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
How's everything going?
Pretty good.
Cool. What's been going on?
Well, I've been working on getting submissions out. I have like 20 some out.
Very nice. How's it going? Yeah. How's the progress?
Well, some of them are in progress, so they're being reviewed. One of them is for a chapbook that I've been doing.
Oh, wonderful. All right. Well, you're going to have to let us know how they go, okay?
All right, I will.
Great. So what do you have for us tonight?
Well, I decided to go humorous today. this one's called Bob versus the Board of Education.
All right.
Bob, the new pair in town, did as he wanted weekdays, 9 to 3, until fate intervened and he met with the board, then later when he got home that day. End of poem.
Very, very nice. We enjoyed that one. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Hey, are you going to be around for After Dark or the return engagement?
I'm not sure because I have to. Well, I'm working the weekend, so I'm going to have to be up at 5.
Absolutely, so
I may,
understood.
I'm going to stay on to listen to the second segment.
Okay. Sounds good.
So I can get some sleep.
Understood. We completely get that. I'm usually a pretty early to bed kind of guy myself. So we get it. But thanks so much for everything. And we will we'll continue to talk in the chat room and everything like that. But we will we'll see you next time.
I want to make a shout out to Spain R129. That's Danielle's daughter, Rachel.
Oh, well, hello, Rachel.
So hopefully she called in on the first segment because I really want to hear her read again.
Well, she hasn't called in on this segment, but we always have next one.
Okay. Ray, call in.
Only when we say to. Okay. All right. Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, Jim. We'll talk to you later. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. Sorry, that I think, did he hit a button on his way hanging up? Because it sure sounded like he said a word that you bleeped out, but I didn't think I saw your hand move that fast.
No, we're okay.
Okay, sorry, I just kicked your thing here.
It's okay.
I just kicked it. Don't be weird. It's not what you guys think.
No.
Okay, let's go to Stan in Alabama. Stan, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How about y'all?
Hey, we're doing great. We're just getting through this heat wave here. And a lot of fans, a lot of air conditioning, you know, a lot of taking ourselves too seriously.
Oh, no, let's not do that.
Hey, poets,
enough, it's hot. Let's not go there.
Oh, man. You know, we've got but I will say, you know, as far as in the taking yourselves too seriously front, you know, I'm a musician and a writer and a poet. I think I hit out of like the 10 worst classes of people who take themselves too seriously. I hit several of them all at once. All right, so Stan, what do you got for us?
Well, I'll tell you what I got for you. Something not too serious.
Perfect.
Perfect. It's called Journey to Ask. Like many tales of the out of body, this one begins with an ending. Both start in darkness. Then, just then, you exit the darkness and find yourself on a path. though the path seems traveled by million souls. The forest seems primal. The air, a slight haze of mist. With no breeze, the silence is more felt than heard. The colors around you seem grayish, muted through the haze. You sense a presence. Now you hear, you think, murmurs, whispers resonating softly off the branches and leaves. The trees seem to beckon, even reaching out for you. The mist thickens to a fog, enveloping you, obscuring the forest and path. Then, just then, you lose your sense of the ground. It's been replaced with that of ascension. You feel as if you're rising like a wisp of ether rising on a gentle breeze. As you rise, the whispers become words. The voices, known and unknown, surround you. They speak of you and the journey to ask. You're on your way to ask that which we all seek an answer to. The fog again becomes a haze of mist. You see images of your past and those in it. Your life's history before you. Even histories of others long past appear. The histories of humanity as shadows appear and then fade as you rise. You sense a nearness to your destination as your journey to ask continues. The answer to the question, so close. Then, just then, through the clouds, you ascend from smoke gray to light. You see you seem to land on a vast plateau, a multitude of souls standing by, all eyes locked on a huge monolith, its surface inscribed with all the tongues of the universe. All around you appear stunned and disoriented, but you know the inscribed message. Your mind sees the words. You have reached your journey's end. The words, to know the answer, you must first ask. More than a dream realized, a new reality. Then, just then, you feel the rush of a lifetime's anticipation. The urgency is near overwhelming. A lifetime of searching, a journey through worlds, universes, and realities made. The truth of your life and relevance to now be known. The answer to the question in reach. You have but one last task. To know the answer, you must first ask. You steady yourself. Focus your all. Then ask. O mightiest of the mighty, you above all and beneath none, I humbly ask you this. What is the purpose of my existence? Then, just then, you feel it. Not a trembling, but a tremor through your core, an energy beyond profound. You lock your eyes on the monolith embrace. A voice so pristine and clear comes from everywhere. It reaches every atom within you. The words envelop you, passing through you. Then are gone. You now stand stunned and disoriented. The words so clearly still resonate within you. We're sorry. All deities are currently busy. Please stand by. What? Then, just then. Ha! Gotcha. And
Stan, that knocked me over, man. I loved it. I loved it before the punchline, and I loved the punchline. I was hoping it was going to end like that as you were starting to set it up.
Yep.
That was.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I have to give credit to two individuals for this one.
Okay.
One was a young man named Devin Carey.
All right.
Who actually got me started back to writing. And the actual prompt that started this story was a picture he had as a prompt, which was for a path through what was considered the most haunted woods in Europe. Mm. And somewhere along the line of me putting this together, I had a fond memory from long ago, or a flashback, tomato, tomato, you know. And it was of the telling of a story by Mr. Orson Bean called The Mandarin.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, and between those two, this was the result.
I've got to tell you, Stan, you know, I've been listening to an audiobook of Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy, and which is a
really
devastating, beautiful book. I mean, it's rough to listen to. It's very violent and rough, but it is. Stephen King calls it one of the best books ever written. I mean, it's incredible.
Wow.
But listening to you read there, I even said it to JT. I go, Stan could read an audiobook. I mean, I'd sit there and just listen to your intonation, your phrasing, the way you do it. It's incredible. And it was really a pleasure to hear you tonight. And the work was great.
Thank you very much.
You've got it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Pleasure's all ours. Thank you, Stan.
You're welcome.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. And that was Dan calling from Alabama. Man, I can, you know, it's one of those voices I hear that makes me want to write things to send him to read.
Yeah.
And doesn't that sound funny? Like, I was sitting there thinking, okay, I could write stuff. I could send him a microphone.
Yep.
I could get him to record this stuff. He hasn't even said yes yet.
You know, I just forced it upon him.
Well, you know, he could always say yes or no. That's true. Completely understand if he said no. But, man, that was great.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we go into our next segment.
Yes.
I have something I have to give hints on.
Okay.
Which is our
write these down,
July 2017 World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month. Now, I don't tell you who it is right away. That would be pure baloney, homie. Instead, I give you three hints for several weeks, then I announce it, and then we have the last week of generally the last week of the month to do it. We might change it a little bit because we have the end of the month is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
So we'll figure it out. We'll talk about what we're going to do this next week. But here you go. Here are your three hints. I think some of you might be able to get this. Number one, mother gone 11 months after conception. Number two, lived a full residence on Earth. And number three, the coolest in Chile. And there we go. Those are our three clues for the 2017 July World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month. Next week I'll have three more hints. If you think you know, send us a message. Don't say it in the chat room. Diane, don't say it in the chat room.
Oh, calling her out on it, huh?
Well, because she did it last time. All right. So send us a message or something like that. Anyway, let's get ready. We're going to do five more unique callers. If you haven't had a chance to call in yet, or if you didn't get in, now is your time. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do it.
And now, your deep thought.
I have to say, when the annals of history look back at this time, they'll realize we've been making one large mistake. The plural of moose is not moose. It's meese. You might think I'm wrong, but you're on the wrong side of history.
And that was your deep thought.
And we're back.
We are back.
Okay, so you have something to say here.
All right. If any of our listeners are out and about looking at the country to see wildlife, and I'm not talking the stuff that's in a zoo.
Okay.
Please, for the love of God, do not approach the wild animals.
Yes, true. Or the poets.
They are wild animals. And the reason why I say this is because there was a mama moose and a baby moose. So your meese were out.
Meese don't mess around.
Meese do not, especially mothers.
Mm-mm.
They were less than 10 yards, probably a good 5 yards away from the mother.
Moose kill people.
Yeah.
Like on a regular basis. But they kill more people than most other wild animals.
Right. So the reason why I say this is this week, actually yesterday, we were, my wife and I were doing some four-wheeling, and then we went up over Trail Ridge Road, okay? And when you go up and over, it's great. You get to see some elk, maybe some antelope, maybe some sheep. And we're talking the great horned. And then, well, sure enough, we're seeing them as we're on the backside, and there's these people just out of their car walking over to take a picture. And I'm going, stay in your car. One. Two, don't approach the animal because you could spook it.
Right.
And it's going to hurt you.
Yep.
I also witnessed this at Yellowstone. People were getting out of their vehicle to take a picture of a mountain lion. I'm going, you know, you're going to thin the herd with you being gone.
Yeah, yeah.
But please, use some common sense. Wait.
I think that's a really good point. And to add on to that, you inspired me while you were talking here.
Uh-huh.
So for anybody listening who is considering doing something that ridiculous, here are the 7 things to look for to see if a moose is about to attack you. Number 1, the moose stops eating and stares at you. Number 2, it lays back its ears and raises the hair on its hump, neck, or hips. Now, the laying back of the ears, that's a horse thing also.
Yeah.
Number 3, smacks or licks its lips and clicks its teeth. That basically means it's hungry and is thinking of eating you. Number 4, it lowers its head and walks towards you. I think that's obvious.
Well.
Number 5, urinates. Now, to be fair.
Oh.
I do that when I'm excited.
Yeah, well. But I think that's a challenging.
Yeah, it's kind of like.
I don't think you can do what I can do, buddy.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Number 6, shows the whites of its eyes.
Oh, widens its eyes, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then whips its head back like a horse. So I think that makes a lot of sense. So apparently more people die from moose vehicle collisions than actual attacks.
Yeah.
But you really want to, you know, just keep a safe distance, keep your dog away from it, show some respect, don't make loud noises, chase or harass the moose, and they especially hate dirty limericks.
Yeah.
All right, now we're going to go to a submission that came in a little bit before the show I hadn't seen.
Nice.
And this is from a longtime friend of the show, Steve Junka.
Awesome.
And here we go. This one's called Skull. And then the subtitle is, his name was Steve Keif, but we called him Skull. Knowing he was there helped a great deal. He was really a big brother and not a big wheel. He became a staff sergeant and a leader of men, but always one of the guys in there to help out again and again. If you called in an alert, you knew he'd be there. So you wait for Kilo 74, 75, and the one with no hair. But Skull was a legend in that faraway, forgotten place. But in spite of the passing of time, I can still see his face. A face that brought kidding and could be kidded as well. Steve is alive and well and lives in California. Oh, this is a subtext, I guess. Steve is alive and well and lives in California. We just located him in December of 2000 after someone reported he passed away in 1990. What a great Christmas present this year. Welcome home, Steve. And that was from Steve Junka, called Skull. Always love Steve's work.
Yeah.
And that reminds me that project we kind of started a little bit and been letting it gain momentum last year. We'll have to revisit it a little bit later this year.
Definitely.
And see what we can do with it. All right. So that was from Steve. Let's go to our main callers. Now we're going to go firstly to Missouri.
All right.
To Sinister. Sinister.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, good evening, man. How are you?
I'm all right. All right, not bad at all. Uh-huh.
All right, good
day.
To
hear. Got a lot of stuff done actually today.
Good. I love days like that, man.
Yeah. Well, I've had several pieces of work that have been unfinished and left aside, and or a challenge that was given me, et cetera, et cetera. And I did a garage sale today, and it was pretty slow and hot as hell outside.
Yeah.
And I sit in the studio and went ahead and got some painting done, and then I busted out like 3 or 4 pieces today too, finished and revised, et cetera, et cetera. So
oh, that's great.
That's something. So
that is awesome.
I'm gonna read 2 of those tonight, 1 now and 1 later, and give you a something that has not been heard but once, and not in its edited version. So. To start off, we're going to do Death Foretellings from Old Ghost, when you guys are ready.
Whenever you're ready.
Alright. Escape into the now, becoming present. It will glide through an easier inertia. Trashed lifetimes of lunacy, feeling so. Sometimes a dirty mirror can introduce fake. Pathetic vibrations that mire progression, invoking plasma into corrosive advancements. Streamline the coax on my raunchy complacence. Shit, even dime store slicks got a one-up on class. Intolerable, my epicenter regurgitating deja vus. Inescapable cores of displacement cover longitudes. Weakened seams of blown-out expressways vacancies. Portals not snowed in yet, broadcasting strange haze. Failing under such regressions, my pride not intact. Streamlining natural prophetic heresy under barren tax. Geared towards skid row placement from reinstating shortfalls as fact, not fiction, lies under toxic placentas from which I submit. Crawl on footing of tears above majestic waves. Half a century sees the current slapping my face. Shy of drowning in the infinite canisters, heavy it's worth. Burbled inside intrinsic doldrums, I swallow agape. Not a wise man born under bright wattage, but give failure its due. Posing the curbside atrocity to attempt regaining a visual path. Reacting on labored impositions where the surgical severed flesh. Suppose I find humility on fortune's relinquishing of normal jowl. Riddles can grow heinous instances of obsession and dreams. Dictating erroneous testament on short copy. Prose breached. I once saw such courted inquisitions break open black holes, somehow softening my reaction to those nude occurrences. Propositioned chemical imbalance with hornet laughter, just a fine restraint, 5 deep on points of lost reason, laying golden carpet segues and dire padded posterity, saw the shuffling wobbles, burning crowns of acceptance. Not pleased by quieting of rampant echoes and carnal thought. Damn them swiftly now. This flooded reliving of ghost stories foretold. Broke free from the locked passages come their disruptive wails. It's wicked fog upon these waters that want me stone dead. Inundated past affliction, paid much more than my soul. Cowering under specter shadows, escaping the foretelling. When it fail cemetery hymns from a touch of old ghosts and peace.
And bringing the energy like you always do. Sinister, that was great, man. Great read.
That was a piece for a walk inside your own insanity, I guess. That was a walk inside my asylum.
That's great, man. No, we thought it was awesome. Yeah. It was awesome. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate the read. Thank you.
It's good to catch a show and not be cut off in the middle of reading.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big plus.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had like a whole week of that. It was horrible. Anyway, oh, I'll see you guys on the spin around. I got another new one to shed on you. So.
Sounds, all right. Sounds great, man. Sounds great. Thank you. Guys. All right. And that was Sinister Colin from Missouri. Yeah, it was great to have him be able to get through an entire piece without having the audio difficulties. Have you noticed we hadn't had the Skype thing yet? Fingers crossed.
Now you did it.
Well, no, that's not how technology works.
I know that's not how it works. Hey.
It's magic.
Real quick. Mary, I see that you dropped. I saw that you were trying to call back in.
You're just going
to...
We
will take you right after Rachel. We'll take you live. Okay?
Yeah, we'll just bring
it
on.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, okay?
We'll do the Bill O'Reilly thing.
Yes, we'll
do it
live.
Jinx. All right, here we go. So we're going to go to Rachel in North Carolina.
Very good.
All right, Rachel, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, well, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey.
We're happy to have you again. How'd your week go?
It's been going okay. I got to see my boyfriend before he went off to Durham this week. He's over here texting me like he ain't got nothing better to do. But you know,
it's probably he misses you then, huh?
Yeah, he does. I told him, I said, go pet the dog. You'll feel better.
That's just another of millions of cases, I'm sure, of women telling guys, get it together, Willie, and go out there and stop being so lame. I absolutely understand. So let's do this. Let's let you read, and then we'll talk about it after, okay? So I'm going to give you the stage.
Okay. So this is called Valentine's Sacrifice. And so no one gets confused. It's the history of St. Valentine. Guilty, guilty, guilty. But what am I guilty of? Surely it couldn't be spreading religion or spreading the thought of love. But guilty that he is, voices echoing in the room. Guilty of going against Rome's rule, marrying young love's bloom. Guilty roared one last time, and Paris stood dumbstruck. I allowed them to drag me away haughtily, as if I were just a dead buck. In a dark, cold dungeon, blood occupied all the floors. The walls were decorated with instruments of death and iron bars for windows on every door. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Guilty I was thereof. Guilty of spreading religion and spreading the thought of love. End of quote.
All right.
That's good. I like that.
Rachel, I really enjoyed it. I have to tell you that guilty, guilty, guilty. It, you know, I was raised Catholic, and so I instantly started squirming in my seat thinking my mother was calling me or something. So I... No, I really, really enjoyed that one. Thank you.
It was really good.
So what inspired you to write that one?
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. What inspired you to write that one? What was what inspired that topic?
When I was in high school last year, I was in a creative writing class, and it was Poetry Week. Well, Poetry Week, surprise, surprise, was on February. And then there was... stuff like that because of Valentine's Day. I said, well, let me drop a history lesson on them. And so I looked through all of it and then spent the time to write a poem based on the history of why we celebrate Valentine's Day.
Very good.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a good thought. It's a good place to go with that. I think that shows that you're thinking at a different level. We're really happy to have you here, Rachel. Thank you.
Yep, no problem.
All right. We'll talk to you again next time, okay? Whenever you can call back in. Awesome.
All right.
We'll talk to you later, Rachel. Thank you. And
no problem.
And that was Rachel calling from North Carolina, doing a great job again. She's returning. That's her second thing she's written on the show.
Yeah.
Did great.
It was a great piece.
It was. Yeah, I really liked that. All right, so.
Mary.
Now we're going to wait for the call. From Mary.
Mary.
Quite contrary. Will you please call us, please? Mary.
Maybe.
Maybe. Mary. Maybe.
Ready?
Oh, she's calling live. All right. Mary, you're live.
I am not a contrarian. I am not a contrarian.
A librarian?
All right.
I might be a librarian someday, but I'll never be a contrarian.
Okay. Please don't be a contrarian at all.
I'm so sick of that poem. You know, if I could say one poem that I'm sick of.
Yeah.
There we go. But all you lovely poets have gone so far beyond Grimm's and all the fairy tales that were written and read to me as a child. And thank God for that, because it made me think about the canter and the thought that that made these words rhyme and made them cute and made them mean a little bit more. That's why I love poetry. That's why I started loving poetry. And then, God knows, I found some living poets. What?
They exist.
Dead thousands of years that have something to say. Come on. Come on. Where are you? And you're here. Here you are.
Wonderful. Well, we're happy that that you can always be here with us. That you matter just as much.
Oh, how lovely you say that. I write gibberish. Maybe it makes sense in some language, but I haven't figured out what language yet. So until then, I'm going to sing a song. It is a song I wrote here in Arizona in the 119 to 123 record-breaking heat that we seem to be getting. And it's not unlike Wisconsin in that way, that you're locked in an igloo. In this case, it's a cave with an air conditioner and a fan.
Uh-huh.
But it's not much like, you can't go out. You can't go out.
I understand.
No.
I understand.
But we have libraries. We have libraries, and we have the net, and we have so much more than our ancestors. So here's a song. I'm going to call it Falling for You.
That was great.
Thank you.
Mary, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yes, it's always a pleasure.
Oh, there we go. I hope everyone had their potty break. On to more poetry.
Are you saying you wish they stood up and did it, or that it was so good that they just spontaneously went in their pants?
Everyone peeing while I was, that's how I got through the song.
No, that's generally how I just assume. Honestly, I got to tell you, though, Mary, I assume people are peeing when I'm talking to them, and 90% of the time I think I'm right.
You know, natural human conditions are natural human conditions.
That's true.
Why would we want to fight that?
You know, why would, it's human nature. That's it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I will take that forward. I will take that forward.
All right. Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And that was Mary calling all the way from Arizona.
Where it's really hot.
There's a song being played later dedicated to Arizona.
That's right.
All right.
Muy caliente. Sorry. Couldn't help myself.
El Nacional caliente. All right. So, instead of me butchering Spanish, let's just go to Kentucky. That's all just right. The natural next step. Let's go to Philip in Kentucky.
Well, thank you, sir. I am now sufficiently awake, I believe.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Good. How's your week
exactly
been?
Exactly what you want. What, I'm sorry. Oh, well, you know me. I'm pretty much blunt with my honesty. I am fresh out of the hospital, the psychiatric hospital, which I am not ashamed of at all.
You shouldn't be.
Thank you. But I must say that I keep going back to the same hospital because they have the best OR scrubs for free. I mean, I keep getting out of there with a fresh pair of OR scrubs, man, and they are the best pants, I'm telling you. I'm like, yep, you know, they might mistake me for a doctor or a patient. It's up to you. It depends on who you're talking to or who is talking to me. So,
but either way, they're going to be like, man, those scrubs are classy.
They're classy. There you go. I like that.
Nice and comfy, I take it, right?
Yes, very much so. Oh. Very, very much so. Okay. Yeah.
And I got to say, you know, I've been in the hospital a bunch of times myself, you know, for various things.
Yes, sir.
I've now, in my older age, have gone back to the hospital gowns that tie up in the back because I can manufacture so many wardrobe malfunctions. and I've literally just, you know, it's like you walk out and you're talking to the nurse's desk and you're teasing the front row, as it were, like, sir, put your foot down. You don't need your foot to be up on the nurse's desk.
Right. Yeah. I think that's almost, what is it called? Misogyny there?
Misogyny is what I'm hoping would happen, but no such luck yet.
You have that misogyny, sir. Please.
It reminds me of, what is Spinal Tap? They're talking about a cover of an album. They go, it's sexist. And the guy goes, what's wrong with being sexy? And I thought, it's just a...
Yeah.
Good old Rob Reiner.
I know. And now we're going to get letters. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right. No, that's quite a warm introduction. And I must say, while you were describing your very stylish and quite sassy nightgown there, buddy, I was thinking, you're in your sexy nightgown, and here I am in my straight jacket. We will make a pair. So
you know, that sounds a lot like the night before Christmas in a totally different style.
It sounds like the night before a lot of trouble is what it sounds like, I'm telling you.
If we wrote that and had Stan read it, I'd be all in. I think that'd be...
I know, right? Oh. And then half the women following, too, they'd be like, gosh, that voice is so great. I'm so turned on. Oh, my Lord. Well, before I get too aroused and can't read, I'll get to it. All right. I love how you just suddenly go serious. All right, it's time to read.
Right.
Knock the crap off. Now it's time to read.
I am now turning off executing humor into executing seriousness.
Right. Michael, I don't know where you keep your switch, buddy, but it's a good switch. Keep it, buddy. I tell you, pretty amazing. Just turn that shit off. I mean, excuse me, turn that off. Right
it's
away.
Okay. You're
from
okay.
The man who wrote the thing about
it's all
I know,
good.
Right? I just can't. Just give me something new. He reads everything on the cue cards. Unique New York. All right. Oh. Jiminy Christmas, you guys.
Sorry.
I'm trying to be serious here.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
All right. Breaking up kingdoms into their constituent ideas, and then parenthetically I have here an extremely brief conceptualization. Necessarily piecemeal, that universe, distinguished from another, until one's own ellipses becomes nothing but numbers without value or volume. Preferably one vast painting enshrined around names of laureates who release questions back into their proper domains, about heroes who persist, a breath perpetual. Travel into spaces indistinguishable from dreams, decades or centuries of eons. Interiors every bit as vibrant as Van Gogh wearing a goldenrod halo. Whispers, dream, good sir, while we gather in earnest everything you could not before becoming recumbent. Saint of twilight palettes, clawed broken garden graven earth, and the awe of pristine reflections, smooth glass dark water splayed. Adrift inside the flowers, red walls and pale women with hypnotic eyes, puddled by a star-faded cosmos. From the pocket, a tea bag's worth of collected genomes, but not all, since Zeus feels his virile twinge again, prematurely spilling lightning bolt cliches. When all the goddesses open their fevers, oh, rose heliotropism. To think one single kiss could be enough, becoming many splendid. The instruments and orchestration, even a bedside metronome for love and conversation. The flocks, who as one travel by, no less than a winged tribe. And there you go, good sirs.
It's a beautiful piece, Philip. Great work.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate that, Michael. Yeah, good lad. You both are very good lads.
Well, thank you very much, Philip.
And it's because you've got great ladies behind you. I know it. you talented fellows.
Yeah.
And all these ladies and gals. And also, thank you, Titus, so much. I don't have a chance really to. I mean, I was overwhelmed. I was very touched. It was very kind. And anyhow, now I'm blathering, but at least I'm not Trump, right? So,
I think that would just be. I mean, you don't even have to put it in context. I think I just personally would never want to be the president anyway. So I think I could start wearing a shirt that says, "At least I'm not Trump."
Right there. The first person that raises their hand and says they want to be president, you know not to vote for that guy.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
the problem. You know, the people who want to be shouldn't do it.
Yeah. What are you even running? I don't know. But anyhow, that's a topic for another day.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
there
is.
It is. All right, fellas.
And,
cheers. Thank
Philip?
You so much. It's good to hear you guys.
Hey, Philip.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to send you a message in the chat room. Something
okay,
for
yes,
you
sir.
To watch because of your poem. It clicked into my head. Something for you to watch. It's like, you know, on your free time kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I hope I can figure out what I'm supposed to do, but I will do my best. Yes.
Okay.
I'm honored. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
Philip,
thanks so much. Cheers. All right. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky. It's great to hear his voice.
Yeah.
Great work. Man. All right. So as we near the end, I'm going to read a quick poem here.
Okay.
This one is untitled. Here we go. Let me try that again. Whenever I hear you speak, there is Paris. Wherever I see your face, there is Rome. In the swirling frenzy of her magnificence, in the centuries before her spirit had flown. And at the depths of her seduction, I tread the stones with eyes aloft, my mouth intoning an old induction from a prayer I knew but have since forgot. In the cool breath of the morning,
when all the world stilly sleeps, and my heart is hotly stirring, then as men do, I weep. Whenever I hear you sing, there is my heart surging. Whenever I see you dance, there is my reason whirling as a dervish. And the madness comes in the songs of night, and the morning arrives, never to find me whole. And that's called Untitled. Something I'm working on.
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll clap for myself because I'm just going to be an egomaniac and a jackass there.
All right, let's do this. We're going to go to a return engagement.
Okay.
The number 720-240-9766. Anybody can call, even if you've already called in.
Yes, that number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back for the return engagement. The definition of return is come or go back to a place or person. To give, put, or send something back to a place or person. Or, if used as a noun, an act of coming or going back to a place or activity.
I think this would be applicable, probably.
Or a profit from an investment.
Ooh.
Now you know, and knowing is half the battle.
Go, Joe.
Exactly. All right. I love this. Wow. This, you know, I'm noticing a distinct little light reverb. I actually love it tonight for some reason. Okay. It's just a spacey feel.
Interesting. Okay.
I don't know if you can hear it. I can hear a little bit. Anyway, that's okay. That's all right. We're good.
Oh, you know what? It's slightly there.
It's there. It's very light. Okay. So let's go to Missouri for Sinister for round two in the return engagement. Sinister, are you there?
Mute
that's all right.
Computer.
That's all right. We got it. We got it. You got the stage. We'll talk after, okay?
This is number two of New Things debuted. This is called Birth and Fractures Cracking. Inside the void of time's wasted granules is slumbering essence of utter silence. Clandestine shutter vision sees the idiotic eccentricity failing to fill empty rationale. Incubated by muted tongues of cotton-filled mouse, culminating in separation fast. Leading astray amicable patterns of life, barely registering on the waves of progression vexed. It's here. Our eternal prowess loses gravitational adherence, absolutely demagnetizing focus, causing corrupted data to implode into maniacal terabytes scripted for such mayhem. Predicates, chances, fair hindsight, not to be set in stone placards of deformed night terrors. Such liaison bets snake eyes to win when created through fifths of cocaine cocktails. Woke running backwards amidst bloody catacombs, rampant in fervor of languid obsessions. Came on like wetted dreamscapes of adolescent vertigo chasing Victoria's wear. Trusting blindly the obsolete meanderings of Freudian rants echoed on fanfare. Declaring absentee reclusion. Misinformed surroundings of sadistic ideals and dusk's maturity. May absolution trickle over hourglass moments, washing the ignorance free. If not a branch to perch my resolve upon, expose myself to this air. Wasting any gumption to obtain realization, now half a century remiss. Should have burnt the fucking clue. Streamlined chance to identify what's fucked and apparently lacking in the fractures cracking. End peace.
All right, Sinister throwing down seriously there, man.
tell you, it's a long time coming. It just started like over a month ago, and little ebbs and little flows, and just kind of left it there. And I've been doing a lot of, you know, obviously internalization, looking in. But in the looking in, you get to see the world on the out in a way that we all should see it all the time. And I had the chance to, I had barely been reading, but I read Tuesday night another piece called Illuminating Ways. And in explaining where I was when I wrote it, it made me realize not only what I'd done, but what I'd been doing, and it helped finish this piece. And yeah, it's cool to you know, move even in a snail's pace when you fall backwards four spaces every 2 weeks.
Sure.
As long as we're progressing in some instance.
Well, I think it was great. And enjoy your work always. It's kind of cool to see the progress. Like I can see that you're moving to a certain direction. It becomes obvious in the work.
Yeah, I get stuck on things. I like to be very thorough.
Sure.
That's impulsive.
That makes sense.
Yeah, well, hey, if the ladies stick around, I have something for After Dark, my latest. And sexy. Yeah, maybe I'll be around.
All right.
Thanks again.
All right.
Have a great night.
Hey, you too. Thanks, Sinister. And that was Sinister calling from Missouri with promises for an After Dark extravaganza. Worthy of its own fireworks. Yes, worthy of its own fireworks show. Go ahead.
What so the 4th of July, I always enjoy it. We have a spot real close to the house that a couple of cities get together, and they pool their money together to put on a show.
Okay.
And I don't know if we missed the finale of the fireworks show, but it was a real letdown at the end. It was just like, and we're done. And it was just this last few, and it was the end of a fountain, and we're like, okay, no grand finale where there's like, you know, 10 of them going off all at once kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I like World War II style.
Yeah. I want to feel that thing. But.
Yeah. You know, I was actually talking to Draven from The Silent Still.
Yeah.
And we were discussing how awesome it would be to get a fake cannonball. Like if there was some way you could fire, you know, so it's not actually shooting a cannonball out there. But get like a 40-pound gun from like the, you know.
Uh-huh.
So there's all these fireworks in the middle of the neighborhood. Suddenly, boom, you know, people hear an actual cannon.
Yeah, we have a neighbor that has one in his backyard.
What?
Yeah.
You can introduce me to this guy. Is this a guy I want to be introduced to?
I don't know. You can. That's fine. But yeah, it's like your funeral. He has a cannon in his backyard.
He's got a cannon.
Yeah.
Dude.
And he sets it off on the 4th of July.
I feel like we should start a podcast about him just called He's Got a Cannon.
that would be fun.
All right. So we're going to head now to Barbara in Connecticut.
All right.
Wait for it.
Yeah. Barbara in Connecticut.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Barbara. How you doing?
I'm good. Sorry I went off like that about the 4th of July.
Okay.
But I figured, what the hell. It is like 3 days after the 4th of July, so my poem is about... It's from 2015 when I wrote about the 4th of July, and I think it is kind of apropos. It's called Happy 4th of July. Fireworks will fly into the sky with their chrysanthemum blossom stars and showers of glittery sparkles, and the music will play grandiose Sousa tunes while we view splendid red, white, and blue displays to celebrate this day when independence was the dream and reality, when brave men inked their signatures on the document that would be our birth, as freedom emerged, its delicate chrysalis still wet from the process. And we spread our wings, eager to fly, independent and sturdy, through centuries. And we gathered the needy, the ones running from poverty, and the ones who yearned for a life away from tyrants' whims that we promised with our words on that parchment. And we became a crazy colloid of people, rolling around in the freedom of their space, but governed by one ideal so huge it can at any moment catch hold and move us into a solid. When threatened, we come together like the elaborate white-on-white extravaganza at the end of the fireworks display, and we hold fast to protect this butterfly of freedom from the onslaught of intruders, both outside and within our borders. End poem.
It's a pretty powerful piece there, Barbara.
Thank you. I think I read it on here once, but I felt it was apropos considering. But we had a wild and really loud ending to our fireworks.
Well, yeah, you have five barges of fireworks. Yeah, it's going to be really loud. Yeah. That's about the only thing I'm really jealous about of is the big fireworks displays. We don't have them here because...
Yes, we do.
Not that big.
We have some pretty damn big ones. I don't know if you saw.
No, seriously, I don't think any city has that. I mean, Macy's is like the only huge. They're ginormous. Really.
Okay, all right. Barbara, you know what? I'll give it to you. Hands down, New York wins. Just like New York pizza is better than any other pizza, including Italy, apparently.
And New York pastrami and corned beef and New York pickles.
And New York shoes. Shoes that are in New York are just better than all the other shoes. And the New York birds are just smarter than all the other birds. No, I'm just playing.
But no,
I live in New York, but I live in Connecticut. Yeah.
But your soul's in New York, let's face it.
No, I'm a New Yorker. In my heart.
In your heart, not your soul.
Okay.
Okay. You're a poet in your soul, but a New Yorker in your heart. I get it.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So, but I do love New York and all parts of it. It's kind of, you know, it's the kind of love that doesn't go away. But anyway, I understand that you love your own fireworks, and believe me, I'm not putting them down.
The best part about the whole thing is that there's absolutely no need for any type of consternation. No. We just created it out of thin air.
I
am offended.
Let's go to war about fireworks.
Totally.
Nothing else to talk about.
No, there's nothing else weird going on.
No, seriously, this is a great show, and I'm going to get off so that other people, I hope you got more people to come on.
We do.
All right. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
I'll be back for After Dark, too, because I wrote a poem last month, and
that's right.
It wasn't After Dark.
That's right.
So I've kept it for all this time.
All right. Well, a month in wait. All right. Thank you, Barbara.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Then. Bye-bye. Talk to you later. Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. She also spends a lot of time in New York, where everything apparently is better. Okay.
Just driving that thing home, huh?
Hey, I've known too many New Yorkers in my time. And you know what? There's a lot of great stuff in New York.
Oh, yeah.
But there's also a lot of things that when I came back here, I was like, you know, I like this a lot better. For instance, New Yorkers will go on. You know what they'll go on about? Honestly, any season. Oh, Autumn in New York. It's the best ever. There's even films called Autumn in New York. Winter in New York. It's cold, but it's beautiful. Winter in New York's the best. You know, spring in New York. Oh, my gosh. Look, spring in Colorado, I dare anybody. Talk about end of April, early May here.
It's beautiful. It's so nice.
Any place I have been, I dare anybody to find a place cooler than that. And or just cooler is not a good term.
I was going to say.
But it's more beautiful than that, I would say. All right, let's go to I'm sure everybody could argue
yeah,
that.
Yeah, everybody's
that
like, no,
from.
It's here.
No. Okay. And let's go to Stan in Alabama. All right.
Hey, hello.
Hello, Stan. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks. Still good. A few minutes later, I guess. Nothing's gone wrong in the last 45 minutes since we spoke. So, so how about this? I'm going to give you the stage. We'll talk after, okay?
Fair enough. This one's a simple one to understand. This one is titled To Jamma. In our journey through love, a lesson we've learned. It can change its direction to life's pendulum sway. And a heart must be strong once life's arc has turned. Separately we began, naive hearts open on display, with youthful emotions and passions infused. Thought we had found love that always would stay. We found instead our hearts had been misused, and painful lessons when love fails and falls, and lonely cold when love's trust is so abused. So we meet tattered hearts behind defensive walls, hiding scars from broken trust we had been through, hardened with the fires of rage and pains we recall. But love's resilience brought our souls back into view, sharing joys and past pains now bonds my heart to you. End poem.
That was a beautiful piece. I really, wow.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah. What does one say after that? No, it was a beautiful piece. Thanks, Stan.
Well, that lady, Jamma, happens to be my love and my muse. Well,
that's a good thing. At least in both, huh? Both of them in one woman?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
As it should be. All right. Well, hey, Stan, thanks so much. Are you going to be joining us for the After Dark segment?
Joining you for After Dark? I think tonight, no.
Okay.
Fair enough. I might not be joining ourselves for After Dark either. I'm still trying to figure out what my psyche is.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I do have a piece I would like to read After Dark, but it's going to be a cover.
Okay, that's fine. Covers are just
but
fine.
It is one of my all-time favorite poems.
Perfect. Look forward to it.
All right. Thank
all right.
you.
Thank you, Stan. And that was Stan bye calling bye. All the way from Alabama in the return engagement. All right. I'm waiting for JT to get everything ready
my
here.
Apologies.
No, it's okay. I'm actually just moving really fast. It's not you at all.
Oh, okay.
And now we're going to be heading over to Titus in the UK. It usually takes a second for the call to connect.
Wow, it was really quick.
Wait for it. Titus, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Wow, that was much
it was a really quick one.
Much faster than usual.
Well, the strange thing about it is world poetry has got its own volume on the mixer here, and I'm at the, because I don't want to wake people up, but I've got all these mixers ready, and I'm waiting for the sound to come up, so there you were.
Oh, perfect. There you go. Okay, well right, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
There we are. That's okay. I was going to say, I've been so busy at work. We've got these, I don't know if you have it in America, but the health and safety rules are so silly that I've got to write this out. It's going to take me months to do all this risk assessment. So, of course, it's taken up almost my time. And I'm getting back to the fact that the only contests I look for are word bank ones, which it actually revives me into the poetic sense to actually write. I'm really struggling at the moment. Yeah. I don't know if you get that yourself.
We have a ridiculous amount of safety and health restrictions as well. I mean, I think it's kind of a bureaucracy thing, but I think a lot of those things are also in place for you. Well, some of them are in for good reason, but some of them are completely not also.
Well, at training, if you ever go on a training, health and safety, the one word they don't like is common sense. You bring that word up, they hate it. Yeah.
I think it's hard to quantify common sense. I think that's the only problem. You know, you'd think someone has it, and then they make some. You know, I remember my father telling me once, he used to run a property administration thing for a large corporation here in the United States, and he had an assistant who was painting the floor of a room and literally painted himself into a corner of the room.
Oh, my.
And he's sitting there thinking, how does this guy live?
You know, common sense.
Common sense.
Yeah, well, that's the F word for the director of health and safety.
And a lot of other things.
Well, getting back to this contest, it's a word bank one. So, of course, you'll have to excuse a few of the large words. But I seem to have the knack of putting them all together and finding a common denominator. And writing, so that's how I get my poetry nowadays.
Oh,
until I retire, of course, in 3 years' time. Okay, this one's called Mind the Troglodyte. I put it in a sense that it's not as a cave dweller, but how we hold in our anger at the point where we want to explode. So it's called Mind the Troglodyte. Given time, to stravage mind internal-wise, the usual outcomes do inflict to let calm fulminate. Just whisper under one's breath, patience is the handsel, how God-given tries to confine mind. A troglodyte without balm, ingenious goings on in there, the morbid death. One is left with paroxysm, though stillness I'll engrave, where almighty hail shall roam. Stentorian, it will conform with the outside, unfurl outrage. No, it is not a mental illness to find a ras within. Our mouths do foam. Our native side is still prepared to let deride. That's short and sweet there for you. That's it.
I've always enjoyed the word troglodyte, and you use it very, very well.
I don't think I could have used it as a cave dweller. You never see him.
I think I have the only person I've known who's actually used that word in full, in real conversation, and I can't remember exactly how he did, but it was a drummer that I was good friends with, it's a drummer who then out of nowhere just suddenly started saying words like troglodyte and using them very correctly.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Titus. It's always a pleasure, and this was no exception.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Have a great day. Goodbye.
And you. Bye.
And that was Titus from the UK, calling from the early morning there.
Yes.
All right. Now, we're going to go to Kentucky, where the moon never goes down, to Philip.
There he is.
All right. Philip, are you there?
Only if you wish me to be.
Well, we do. So here you go. Well, game on. No.
All right. No, that's good. You want to know my official diagnosis?
Oh, if you want to share it, sure.
Yeah, I'm allergic to static.
Oh.
That's what they broke it down. It's the new DSM. They finally got off the 6th, 7th, and 8th, and 9th, and they went on to the DSM-10. That's the diagnostic and statistical manual, if you're not familiar with these kind of terms.
Yeah.
And in the 10th edition that hasn't been written yet, they're like, Philip is allergic to static, and just cut out the static and he'll be fine.
It's very possible. I think there's so
I'm
much
cut down on the static if things are going to be good, you know.
Once the static's gone, now the only things that can be played are the things with the strongest signal. So therefore, Philip, you need to step into the role of taking over the airwaves.
Well, I think that might make me founder, as they say. So that might be a, I don't know. I would be more than happy to try, though. See,
I think
my ego.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Ego. It's not.
No, if your doctor said the only diagnosis or the only solution for your diagnosis is for you to take over all media.
Well,
well, if you'll write me a prescription, I'll get to work.
He went from homeless to hospital to the catbird seat. All right.
You would not be the first one, my friend. There are plenty of people who've made that. By the way, if you're not familiar, I would not saying that it's even tied to it, just for the fun of it, look up Emperor Norton.
Emperor Norton. Okay.
Yes, look him up.
I can do that. All right.
You'll enjoy that.
I got two assignments from you guys. Well, I feel like I've been missed. Well, thank you.
No, you definitely have been. You definitely have been.
You guys are so sweet. Here's a fist bump, a virtual fist bump. All right.
Virtual fist bumps all around.
At
least they're fist bumps. Okay.
Well, thank you, guys. If you see my face right now, and by the way, you're not going to believe the transformation. I've actually even got a professional haircut today. So
no kidding.
Things are looking up. Shaved my beard, have a fresh haircut. I don't look very poetic anymore. Let's just put it this way. If you put me in a suit and tie, you might actually think I own a business or something, or might be halfway competent. But enough of my blather. Let's get to this poem here. This poem thing here that I messed up with all this ink and all these scribbles and all that kind of stuff. And let's see where it goes. All right, here it comes. Clear the voice like that, and everybody thinks, oh, he's going to say something important, right? All right, here we go. When echoes return before the calm, I chant myself towards slumber, though enchanted it isn't. Entropy records harsh as a mistress by fairly demarcating divisions between sacred and profane, perhaps, if then, topsy-turvy. No longer recall the breadcrumb string theories, M or others, those that led to this colossal quest. Onward the weary headspaces, amphitheaters ponderously as if by gravity's feminine transformations. Dragonflies become fuzzy buttermoths. The psyche gently ensorcelled between glass made into specimen jars and days and ways wedged between dreams and everyday doings. Is all information correct, or is there enough featherweight leverage in bookkeeping for modest revisions? Maybe entirely new libraries and universities where professors talk about the poetry of photons? Born a beast in the viper's cranium, my contagion gnawed those demonic oppressors beneath my cardiac veil, bluer than airs strummed and mournfully dirged in a minor key. They, the so-called enemies, removed my eyes, ears, and latent feelings I could not then stow inside my oceanic Armageddon innocence. Who chars his ancestors' bones for an ounce of incense? Why not drop atom bombs in your taunting cartoons, promising all degrees of every freedom? True enough, perhaps convincingly false, so I might earn a beggar's hat, a stolen quill returned by Prometheus. I urbanely boast, though a sigh should suffice. Time, methinks, should be just maybe no more than 24, if all I desire is enchantment afar from those bellicose shores. And there it is. You should feel kind of twisty there, hopefully. That was the twisty and swirly for Mary.
I think we're all feeling twisty and swirly. It's like I got pasties here, and they won't stop swinging around. It's amazing.
I don't know why we even pretend like there's a PG rating sometimes. You guys crack me up. I get all.
The way I figure is, if you're 11 and you know what pasties are, there's larger problems than our show.
You get a scratch and sniff sticker, kid. If you know what that is, you're going to go far.
You're going to go far. You're going to have a long and illustrious career as a circus performer, kid.
You're ahead of the bell curve there, buddy.
All right, Philip, thank you so much. It's awesome having you.
Oh, you're very welcome. All right. Cheers, fellas.
All right. And we will talk to you hopefully during the returning or the After Dark segment. Yeah. We'll see. Maybe. Yeah. Sometimes Philip calls, sometimes he doesn't. That's okay. All right. Let's go to, last but certainly not least,
that's right,
Rachel in North Carolina.
Last but certainly not least.
Rachel. Are you there?
Hey.
Hi, how's it going?
I am here.
All right, wonderful. Good. That's what we like.
Yep. I just realized the piece that I picked out does not have a title. I feel some type of way.
Well, that way you can call it untitled if you'd like. But we'll give you the stage and we'll talk after it.
All right.
I wandered past the trees in the courtyard further into the dark. The darkness soon enveloped me, blinding me to my original motive. What did I want? The fleeting light behind me showed my life as it is, my comfort zone. I wanted to live in the eager fear of never knowing what will happen next. My eyes adjusting, I saw trees and flowers. They faintly glimmered with life-granting light. I felt envious of the plants here, all together in a world I knew nothing of. My ignorance of such a different world appalled me. How could I have lived so long now, never knowing the truly vast amount of stories and lives we all could live? I only wish others could see the enormous possibilities if they could venture past the light of their comfort zone. End of poem.
Really enjoyed it. Great work, Rachel.
Thank you.
Thank you. And it's awesome. You got to share two things with us. That's fantastic, and we hope you'll continue to do so.
Yeah, I'm working on two different poems. I'm trying to rewrite this one poem from about last year. I actually have a poem called Entitled that I'm still working on.
Okay.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing it whenever you have it ready.
All right.
All right, thank you. And that once again, that was Rachel in North Carolina. Thank you, Rachel. We'll talk to you again. Now, everybody, that will do it for World Poetry Open Mic this edition. So what we're going to do is we're going to, in just a moment, kick on the intermission music, which will be the end of World Poetry Open Mic proper, and then yep. We'll be going to the After Dark segment itself. Okay,
yes.
So from myself, from JT, from Ursa, from Novia, from Seamus, and all of the other studio kitties, as well as Christine, who is not here this evening.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. This is the end of World Poetry Open Mic proper. When we return, we will be in World Poetry Open Mic After Dark.